politician, talking about his brand new mission. Liked his plans, but they came undone when it got around to God and guns. I don't know how he grew up, but it sure wasn't down at the hunting club. Cause if it was, he'd understand just a little bit more about the working man. God and guns keep us strong.
This is Soldiers of Patriotism.
And good Sunday afternoon to you all, princes and princesses of patriotism. This is Michael B. along with my host, Uncle Bing. Both of us from our respective Patriot Studio bunkers. One of us in Texas, the other in Tennessee. Anyway, we got a great show lined up today. I'm just going to open up. I got to apologize for the opening of this show. My God, Blog Talk Radio has just totally lost its mind. I don't know what's going on with it. None of us. We had three people. We had Rick Bulow, we had me, and we had Bing all trying to get this studio board fired up. And none of us could get it going. I've got all the lines. I've got all the lines opened up right at the moment just because I'm a little flabbergasted and lost, and this isn't how I like to open up a show. Brother Bing, are you out there? Okay, I don't think Brother Bing's called in just yet. Rick, I see you're on the line, brother. How's it going? Thanks for trying to help me get this thing.
Actually, I had the studio open, and I was thinking about calling it in when there was 2 minutes left until the show, but I figured I'd wait until you can. Until you had called in, you know, because they didn't want to step all over you.
Yeah. Oh, well. Well, we've got it opened up now. I'm waiting for Uncle Bean to call in. He does have a rant for us. I don't. He's got the rant today. But let's go ahead and bring in my buddy, Rick. Let's go ahead and bring in my buddy here, Char, from down in southeast Texas. Char, what's going on, sister?
I tell you what, I was beginning to think we weren't going to get this thing on the road.
I was beginning to think it was a liberal conspiracy or something. I'm over here having a heart attack, panicking. I've got you, Kathy, and Karen lined up. The phone lines are stacked up. I haven't seen so many people waiting.
I was thinking maybe Big Brother had already attached to you.
Yeah? Well, I wouldn't be surprised, Char, really, if all of us. I'm sure that all of us are being looked at as You know, being the bitter clingers that we are, I'm sure the FBI has files on us. But anyway, Shar, go ahead. Go ahead and let's. I'm going to hand it over to you, Shar, and Rick and I are going to sit back. We're waiting for Bean to call in, but we're going to sit back. And I've got a lot of phone calls I need to start going through here. And just real quickly, so I know, Shar, you're the last four is 8451. Is that you?
That's correct.
Okay.
I don't have Karen's bio in front of me, so
let me figure out who's who. Last four 8008. Who is that?
It's your brother in Kentucky.
Hey, my brother from another mother, Danny. How's it going, my man?
All right. How you doing today?
I'm good. Hang tight. I just got to go through these phone numbers and see who all we got, and then I'm going to hand it over to Shar. Who do I have at area code 2148? I'm sorry, the last four, 2148.
2147 is Karen Bracken.
Ah, okay, Karen, there you are. That's who I was mainly looking for. then we also have last four, 3043.
That's John Twiddell.
Hey, John, how you doing?
Pretty good.
Hang tight, John. All right, and then I still have a last four, 2148. It's must be from it's odd. It's actually odd, Karen. It's not you, but it's area code 830. The last four is 2148. Who is that? Okay, I'm gonna catch them on the side. So I've got all my phone lines labeled here. I know who's who. Shar, I'm gonna go ahead and mute all of us except for you and Karen, and hand it over to you two. We do have a special Agenda 21 show today, folks. This is a very important. You know, Agenda 21 has been around for a while. Karen and Patriot, and I do want to clear one thing up. Earlier in the week, when I was promoting the show, I said that I had some experts coming on: Patriot Shar and Karen Bracken. And Patriot said, with the utmost politeness, she said, "Michael, I'm not an expert." Okay, so for anyone out there that's listening that was spreading crap on Facebook stating that Patriot, my friend Patriot, was claiming to be an expert, no, she wasn't. I was claiming she was an expert, and I was claiming she's an expert because next to me, she is an expert. So that's taken care of. Patriot, with that, it's all you and Karen.
Okay. Well, hi, Karen. Everybody, I know that most of you probably know Karen Bracken. If you don't know her, you've heard of her. So I'm going to turn this straight over to Karen because she's got some really phenomenal information for us. Karen, take it away.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be on the show with you today. And one of the things that I wanted to start off, because I feel there's certain things that we need to get out up front, because I know once we get into the subject with questions, we may end up running out of time. But to know that I am not an expert. I mean, it is Agenda 21 is such a huge issue. I've been studying Agenda 21 and the United Nations and all of its components for about 2 years, and I still every day learn something new about Agenda 21 that I did not know. So to claim that I'm an expert, I don't feel that way at all. I mean, I know there are people that have been dealing with Agenda 21 for 20 plus years. To me, they're experts. I'm still a student, but pretty much dedicate my entire life, 7 days a week, to learning and studying. You know, based on what you hear today, the issue is so comprehensive. It is so huge. It has so many arms and tentacles that we'll never be able to discuss all of it in the appropriate detail in a two-hour radio station. But, you know, we'll do our best, and I want to make sure that people have questions, that you just feel free to interject and interrupt, because I don't want to end the show with a whole lot of people out there with unanswered questions. I would hope that, if nothing else, this conversation today sparks enough interest, sparks enough concern, sparks enough patriotism in everyone to do more research, studying, and learning about Agenda 21 on your own, because that's the way you're going to really be able to understand it, grasp it, commit yourself to it. Me sitting here preaching and, you know, telling you all this information is great, but if you don't take it and do something with it, it's really just a waste of our time. One of the things I would like to make sure that I get out is, if you are interested in expanding your knowledge level of Agenda 21, I want to make some recommendations of quick and easy things that you can look at, read. Two books, The Pearls of Sustainable Development. It is a new book by a woman, her name is Renee Holiday, and it's Holiday, and you can buy this book on Amazon. It's The Pearls of Sustainable Development. It is a thin book. It is very easy to understand. It is jam-packed with tremendous amounts of knowledge on just about everything Agenda 21. Renee is one of our national Agenda 21 members. She's our Washington State Agenda's leader, and she has done an amazing job with this book. The other book is Behind the Green Mask, UN Agenda 21 Sustainable Development, and it's by Rosa Khoury, and I'm sure probably many of you have heard of Rosa Khoury and you've heard of this book. It is another thin book, easy read, quick to understand. I recommend both of these books. If you're looking for a really good DVD, because one of the things I really encourage people to do is to have and host movie nights. They seem to be very successful. And one of the movies that I have found a lot of success and people have really liked is Rescuing a Broken America by Dr. Michael Kaufman. And you may know Dr. Kaufman as the creator of the biodiversity map, the red and yellow map, that we all probably are very familiar with. Dr. Michael Kaufman created this DVD called Rescuing a Broken America. On YouTube, I recommend Agenda 21 for Dummies and Agenda 21 for Public Officials. And then there's a lot of websites. FreedomAdvocates.org is an excellent website for a lot of good information. Democrats Against UN Agenda 21.com. That's Rosa Khoury's website. And to understand that, you know, Agenda 21 is not a Democrat or Republican issue. It is an American issue. But it's good to know that we do have Democrats fighting this battle with many of us Republicans as well. Sovereignty.net is another great website. And AmericanPolicy.org. So I think between these, you know, couple quick books, you know, a DVD, there's a couple quick YouTubes, some great websites to look at. This is a great starting point for anybody looking to learn about Agenda 21. I learned about Agenda 21 from attending a Tea Party meeting in Tampa, Florida, a little over 2 years ago, and there was a city councilwoman that came to speak to our group about land use policies that were going to be implemented. She never mentioned the words Agenda 21. I don't even think she herself knew that it was Agenda 21. But after she was done with her presentation, I was so kind of puzzled and confused, I started researching it on my own and just somehow fell into picking up on Agenda 21, and that was about 2 years ago. Just to give you a little, I think one of the things, I'm going to start off with conspiracy theory. Everybody, I think if you talk to anybody about Agenda 21, especially people that don't know about it, the first thing they do is look at you a little strange, and you know they think that you know, we're all what they call the tinfoil hat society. And I think that the most important thing is to understand that Agenda 21 is not a conspiracy. It's a conspiracy against the American people. But it is not a conspiracy theory. It is a conspiracy fact. And there are a lot of facts out there that if you're armed with the facts, you can convince your elected officials and your friends and your neighbors that Agenda 21 is real. On my website, AmericaDon'tForget.com, it's AmericaDon'tForget.com, under the Documents tab, I have a lot of presentations, and one of the presentations that I have out there is a very quick, and I'm telling you this because if you want it, you can go out there, you can get it, you can pull it down, you can use it, and I would be happy to help you understand what you're looking at if need be. But it's is Agenda 21 real is the name of the presentation. And I start off with a timeline, just a brief timeline, and the timeline starts back at 1983. Believe me, Agenda 21 had started long before 1983. In 1972 was the first Earth Summit. But we're going to start off my timeline with 1983 and the Brundtland Commission. And Dr. Gro Harlem Brundtland was invited to establish and chair the World Commission on Environment and Development. And it was this commission that coined the definition of sustainable development. And Dr. Brundtland, and this is a woman, by the way, was the Prime Minister of Norway, and she was also the Vice President of the World Socialist Party. And in 1987, the commission was completed, and they issued a report called Our Common Future. And this commission provided the momentum for the 1992 Earth Summit and Agenda 21 that was headed by Marie Strong. And Marie Strong was also a prominent member of the Brundtland Commission. In 1991, Senator Al Gore met in secret with Prince Philip and Marie Strong on Prince Philip's yacht, and one can only imagine what they talked about in that little secret meeting in 1991. And in 1992, the Rio Earth Summit was conducted, and George H.W. Bush, who was our current president at the time, attended the Rio Earth Summit and signed the United States on as a signatory of Agenda 21. Agenda 21 is not and never was a treaty. And it's a misconception. A lot of people call Agenda 21 a treaty. It was not a treaty. It is what they call a soft law. So it never required ratification by the Senate. There's a lot of proponents. John Curry was a big proponent of Agenda 21. Nancy Pelosi pushed hard to get several resolutions passed. She was able to get one resolution passed, HCON 353, by the House, but it was never passed in the Senate. She had another resolution that really never did much. Very shortly thereafter, in 1993, President Clinton established by executive order the President's Council on Sustainable Development. And this is really what introduced Agenda 21 into American society. And he basically redesigned the function of many of the what we call alphabet agencies to implement Agenda 21 policies in America, and that's the EPA, HUD, the Department of Transportation, the Department of Energy. So a lot of the policies of Agenda 21 were pushed down into the alphabet agencies. The alphabet agencies, through sustainable grant money, pushes that money down to the NGOs who bring it into the local communities. In 1995, the APA, and everybody thinks that the American Planning Association is such a wonderful organization, but believe me, they are hot and heavy into Agenda 21. They were given a $5 million grant to create a guide to change land use laws in order to comply with Agenda 21 in the United States. And from that grant came a huge manual. I have a copy of it. It's two volumes. It weighs about 11 pounds. Called Growing Smart, a Legislative Guidebook with Model Statutes for Planning and the Management for Change. So as you can see, as far back as 1995, the American Planning Association was deeply involved in promoting Agenda 21. So, you know, we can kind of move on to 2011, where President Obama, this was in June of 2011, created Executive Order 12575 and included 24-plus government agencies to control and inventory all aspects of rural land and life. And then in 2012, we had our 20-year anniversary of the original Rio Summit. And to me, I think that the biggest thing that came out of that was a joint partnership that was announced. ICLEI announced a joint partnership with Mikhail Gorbachev in the Climate Change Task Force. So anybody that, you know, when ICLEI tells you they have nothing to do with the UN and Agenda 21, we have a lot of proof to the contrary. So that's just kind of a quick timeline. What is sustainable development? As I said, the Brundtland Commission pretty much coined the definition of sustainable development, and from that commission it's pretty much to meet the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. And this, like just about everything else they say and every definition that's been created around Agenda 21, it all sounds very benign and very innocent and very, I call it puppy dogs and butterflies. But when you really start digging down deep into how they intend to accomplish all of these very benign statements, it gets to be very scary. To meet the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs, you know, that brings a lot of questions to me. You know, future generations, well, how many future generations? 100 years out, 200 years out? And how do you determine? We can't even tell if it's going to rain tomorrow. How do we determine, you know, the needs of future generations? So, you know, that's one of the things that we have to do in the fight of this battle is when they come out with statements like this, demand that they explain what do you mean? What does that statement mean? You know, and most times they generally don't have an explanation for it.
Well, we're talking with Karen Bracken and Patriot Shar here a little bit on Soldiers of Patriotism. Karen, let me ask you a question. I mean, is this not like a major scam, class warfare kind of thing? This all goes back to Al Gore's global warming lie and hoax. And the thing is that we're not even controlling this. The UN is controlling this, as you said. But, I mean, how do we get, you know, the people to be educated about this? Because I talk to them about it, and they're like, huh? What's Agenda 21? You know, there are all these code words and buzzwords and everything floating around. I think we need to get something like in a nut and bolt type thing that they can understand. Okay, this is what's going to happen to you, you know. And until
right.
then, I don't know if they're going to understand that. They don't grasp it.
Right. And I mean, yes, when you talk to people, I mean, when I talk to people that don't know anything about Agenda 21, I always try to bring it in through their back door, you know, give them examples of things that may be happening in their neighborhoods right now. Where I live, I have a guy who owns a chicken farm, and the regulators are coming in and you know, basically telling him how much, and I don't know how nice to say it, but chicken poop he's allowed to, you know, lay on the ground. And he has people that come in and inspect his chickens to make sure that he's not in violation of the amount of chicken doo-doo that's allowed to lay on the ground. Well, that's all, you know, Agenda 21. It comes under the list of things that the Biodiversity Assessment Report considers unsustainable, and they consider private property unsustainable.
Who is making these decisions as far as what is unsustainable and what is not? I mean, why are we even talking about this? You know, in my opinion, I mean, what's sustainable to one person is not sustainable to another. I mean,
right. Well,
they can't support, you know, they can't support this argument. So this is coming out of some kind of this elitist group, and this is the same thing I've seen. Well, I didn't say, but I've seen, you know, movies of this back during Hitler and everything. You know, when we had these people coming that were elitist and communism and this the same kind of attitude, and they thought they were better than the rest of us, and they knew it was better for us, and they dictated and mandated and
right.
took people, you know, and shot them if you didn't agree with them.
Right, and you know, I mean, there are the formal definitions. You know, I read you the definition of sustainable development that came out of the Brundtland Commission. If you look at the Agenda 21, the book, the 40 chapters that are the blueprint for Agenda 21, you know, they have a definition. It says Agenda 21 is a comprehensive plan of action to be taken globally, nationally, and locally, by organizations of the United Nations system, governments, and major groups in every area in which human impacts on the environment. Again, it's just a lot of fluff. It, you know, it sounds like a nice statement. If I were to sum up what I think Agenda 21 is, to me it is inventory and control of every human activity. It is a combination of communism and fascism. That is what Agenda 21 is. It is the establishment of a new global governance, and the only way that they could accomplish this new global governance is to come up with a common bond between nations, and that common bond was the environment. So that is, as Rosa Khoury would say, that is the green mask that they hide behind in order to implement this new global governance, and it is a new global governance. You know, the UN will basically rule this new or run this new global governance, and everything will come out of the UN. There will be no more borders. There will be no more sovereignty between nations. You know, I mean, and that is the end game of Agenda 21. And they come in through the local communities using non-government organizations, ICLEI being the most popular. And, you know, they convince these local elected officials who generally don't know anything about Agenda 21, you know, that there's all this wonderful money out there just for the taking. And if you take the money, you know, we have all these wonderful plans that we're going to implement in your neighborhood and just make your neighborhood such a wonderful place for friends and family to live. And it is not long after, when these plans get created, that people find out that really what they are is just a plan to control everything you do with your property.
Oh, it's all about control. In my opinion, it is totally about control. And it's the same thing with this current administration. It's about control. It is about Obamacare. We want to control your health care. We want to make you, you know, feel comfortable. We want, but, you know, when you go in for an operation, they say, oh, see ya. They got the sign, you know, the waving hand out going, well, we can't help you, you know. And you take your IV, we'll give that to you, and you take that home with you. I knew a person last week that had that went in for an operation and went home with an IV in their hand. And I'm like, what is going on with this country? It's already taken control. And the thing is that I really don't know. I mean, the UN has gotten so powerful and so, you know, just tentacles everywhere. I don't know if we can get them out of our society. Do you?
Well,
do you actually think we can get them
out of
the
U.S.? I can't guarantee anything. All I can say is that we have to try. And, you know, this is where people have to get involved in their local community. You need to know what's going on. You need to attend your city council meetings, your county commission meetings, your school board meetings, your planning meetings, and get involved and know what's going on, because this is where these plans get signed off. It is your city council and your county commissioners that actually sign these comprehensive plans and these zoning plans. And when they look out into the audience and there's no one sitting there opposing what they're doing, they sign off on these plans, and then people find out different zoning, and, you know, when they go to do something on their property, that's generally when they find out about all these new zoning regulations. Well, it's a little late then to do much about it. So that's why it's very important that you get involved now, that you know what's going on, and when you see something that's going on that smells of giving up. You know, zoning never brings additional freedom. Changing zoning regulations, adding new zoning regulations, takes freedoms away. It never gives freedoms to people. So anytime you know that there's new zoning regulations in the works for your city or your county, you need to get involved, because, again, they're not going to be giving you freedoms. They will be taking freedoms away. And they do it, you know, ever so slowly. It's, you know, the saying is, you know, anytime you give up freedom for safety, you generally will not have either freedom or safety. So, again, yeah,
no,
you have to get involved.
And people also need to understand that and by the way, I didn't say hi to you. I mean, hello. But, and thanks for being on the show. I haven't talked to you yet, and we were kind of late getting on here. But anyway, it says these people have this mindset, these dirt people have this mindset that humanity is at fault for all the world's problems, all the world's troubles, you know, and that's what they're trying. They're trying to blame this guilt or blame game on the rest of us. Well, I didn't do anything as far as I know. Pretty good steward of my own economy and my own backyard. I try to clean up stuff. I try to pick up things. I try to recycle. But I'm sitting here and I'm looking at some of this agenda, and it's just so much of the communist agenda that's been in, you know, been in existence since the 60s and even earlier. You know, this whole communist agenda has been in our school systems. It's been perpetrated in our lives in all sorts of ways. And they're talking about, you know, things such as, you know, well, you need to show, you know, photo ID to vote. Well, no, you don't. You know, that's disenfranchising people. This is all based off the same kind of principles as these documents and this whole mindset that these people have, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, I personally don't believe that they believe there is any crisis. I don't. They know there's no climate crisis. They know there's no water shortage. They know there's no food shortage. As a matter of fact, you know, a lot of what they are doing is creating food shortages and water shortages, and I believe that they're doing it on purpose. None of this is true. The bottom line is, you know, if they come into your community, they have to have a reason for people to change. So they found the reason that most people, they come in and say, do you want clean water and clean air? How many people are going to say, no, I don't want clean air and I don't want clean water? And they know this. So, you know, they find these common elements that, you know, will play on the compassions of people. And basically they use them to lead people down to their own demise.
Well, I don't know if it's the compassions of people other than the stupidity of people. I mean, it's the stupidity of people, in my opinion. I mean, I don't know. You know, I'm just sitting there going, well, How can people believe in this stuff? How can they believe in this tripe? And Michael, my brother from another mother, are you over there?
Yes, I'm here. I was just sitting here thinking about the word sustainability, waiting to get in here and talk about that.
Yeah,
well,
I mean, we
had started about, you know, what's unsustainable and blah, blah, blah. You know, sustainability, you know, when they talk about sustainable development and sustainability and making things sustainable, you know, I always say, well, okay, in order to make something sustainable, and this is how I, when I go to elected officials and I talk to them about sustainable development, would you not agree that in order to make something sustainable, we would have to abolish, do away with what is considered to be unsustainable? And generally they'll look at you and go, well, yeah, I guess. Well, okay. And that's when I pull out the biodiversity. There is a document. Agenda 21, the 40 chapters, is a blueprint. The meat and potatoes of Agenda 21 comes from a thing called the UN Global Biodiversity Assessment Report and the Wildlands Project. And in that biodiversity report, it is 1,100 pages, and in there it clearly defines what Agenda 21 considers to be unsustainable. It clearly states in there that private property is unsustainable. The UN Habitat Land Policy also states that private property is unsustainable. So, you know, for them to say that this is not a goal to destroy private property is not true. It's all throughout these documents. Single-family homes, private property, fossil fuels, grazing of livestock, large-hoofed animals, dams. Look all around the country at the amount of dams that they are trying to destroy. Fenced yards, paddocks, refrigeration, air conditioning, all of these things are listed in this biodiversity assessment report, which was also used to create, it was one of the documents used to create Dr. Kaufman's map. All of those things are clearly listed in there as unsustainable. So if you understand what's considered unsustainable, to me that paints the picture of what has to be done in order to accomplish sustainable development.
Well, you know, to me, the UN is unsustainable. I mean, you know, the politicians, a lot of politicians are unsustainable. These are people that need to go. These are things and entities that need to go because they do not produce. They do not make anything. They do not do anything other than take our money away from us. And they need to go. And that's to me, I mean, they should be at the top of the list. I mean, you know, we're talking about, you know, we're talking basically the Al Gore, Gorean type thing here with communities and, okay, well, you know, they want to tax dirt, they want to tax, you know, dust, and they want to tax your carbon footprint and all that kind of thing. But the thing is that when you don't produce and you sit there and take from everybody else, eventually, there will be nothing left to take, and they don't get it.
Bing, this is way more than Al Gore, trust me.
Oh, I know it's way more than Al Gore.
Right.
I'm just bringing
well,
him
but he's—I mean, he's on the right track. I mean, you're on the right track. I mean, there's a lot of things that we have to do. There's a lot of things that the American people have become very complacent. We're not involved in our local communities. We do not hold our elected officials accountable, and we do not vote them out of office when they no longer hold our best interests at heart. And the way I feel, you know, to me, anybody that's in office more than 4 years probably needs to go. You know, I don't think anybody should be serving more than 4 years. I don't care how wonderful they are. We don't properly vet or research our candidates. It is so much easier to just go to the polls and just keep clicking for the name that we're familiar with, you know, the John McCain's and the, you know, I don't know who you have out there in Texas. I mean, I know Ron Paul, and I can't say anything bad about
him.
Well,
the Bob Corkers.
Well, Bob Corker is Tennessee, and let me tell you something. Yeah, I mean, Bob Corker,
yeah,
and I'm from Tennessee.
Yeah,
yeah, we tried real hard to get rid of him, and I don't, you know, I don't know.
We prevented our Bob Corker from getting in. His name was David Dewhurst.
Oh, yes, I heard about that one.
Yeah, now, there's some that would, you know, would say whether or not Ted was a better choice or not, but, you know, I guess that remains to be seen.
Well, he might have been a better choice. He might have been a better choice. I don't think he was a good choice. But,
yeah,
you know,
like I said, it remains to be seen.
Right. Well, we will see. You know, we'll see what he does. But that's the thing is.
I was thinking about that word sustainability, though, Karen. I've been sitting here Googling and trying to find it. A few weeks ago, I can't remember. You know, all of us, we have so much going on all the time that we hear stuff, we read stuff, we hear it on the Fox or wherever, or on one of our favorite AM talk shows, and it gets jumbled in with everything else. And not too long ago, I want to say a couple of weeks ago, I heard either read or heard a very good expose on the word sustainability and how it's become a code word for Marxism. And if you know, it's, and they keep changing. The liberals keep changing. It's kind of like liberals. You know, now the word they use is progressives, because
right,
liberal is a bad thing. The sustainability word. You know, and I was trying to find, because they tied it in with I guess you might say the Holy Trinity of being a liberal, and I can't remember the whole thing I read. Part of it was environment and everything, but the sustainability word has crept into the lexicon that you hear it all the time now. And you know, not only do you have the sustainable development that you're talking about, but you have, and I guess it all ties together, but you have, listen to all the times you talk about, Obama talk about sustainable health care, sustainable Medicare, sustainable energy, sustainable. And every time they use that word, they're talking about it in the context of the government being in charge of it.
Right. Right. And that's they're the things that when you hear the word sustainable, that's what needs to go off in your mind. Communism, fascism, you know, public-private partnerships where government and business are in bed with each other. That's fascism. You know, yeah, when you hear sustainable, my mind, when I hear sustainable, that's what I hear, right? Government control, government inventory of, you know, communism, fascism. You know, that's what I hear when I hear somebody say sustainable. And you know, when they talk about this being a conspiracy theory, it's not real, it's not true, you know, I have to say, well, okay, if Agenda 21 is not being implemented in the United States, why does the United States issue a report to the United Nations on their progress on Agenda 21?
There's no reason why. There's no reason why.
Well, I'm saying, well, they do, because... Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is they're telling us that Agenda 21 is not real. Agenda 21 is not being implemented in the United States. Well, if something is not real and it's not being implemented, why are we, the United States, reporting on our progress to the United Nations? So that's...
I get that. I totally get that. My
the
deal
other,
here is that there's it's so hard to explain to people because there's no tangible thing. It's coming through the back door. It's coming through the backside, you know, and they don't understand what exactly it involves. And it's hard to get that or relay that information to them. You know, this is what is going to affect you. This is already what is going to affect you. You know,
well,
as far
I
as
think
what,
that. I think that people, you know, you need to, again, I could sit here and talk about it till I'm blue in the face, but unless, you know, I mean, 2 years ago, I didn't know a thing about it, you know, and it was just through hearing something about land use regulations that were coming down in a city in Florida that I started saying, well, what is this? You know, what are they talking about? Land use and, you know, what is this stuff? And I just happened to fall into it, just like Rosa Corey in her line of business, her career. That's how she found out about Agenda 21. You know, it wasn't like I woke up one morning and said, ooh, Agenda 21, let me go look and find out what it is. Everybody seems to kind of fall into learning about it because of something else that's happened in their life, or because now so many people are talking about it. You know, I have bumper stickers on my car, and I can't tell you how many people have come up to me and said, what's this Agenda 21? And in the trunk of my car, I have little booklets about Agenda 21. I say, here's a booklet. Read about it. You know, so it's getting people curious enough to want to start digging in and learning about it themselves. And you know, sometimes, you know, if you've got friends and family and you've got lots of time to sit down and talk with them, you know, to educate them and convince them that Agenda 21 is here, it's a threat, it's real, and it's something that we need to be very, very concerned about. But again, with this conspiracy theory, again, the APA last year ran a 12-week boot camp teaching their facilitators how to basically change the words that they use. Because of all the opposition they were getting at these visioning sessions, you know, they ran a 12-week boot camp in teaching their facilitators how to circumvent the opposition by changing their words. And I've got this thing right up in front of me, and it says, when instead of using smart growth sustainability, consider using the term quality growth.
Quality growth.
Right. When it comes to urban growth boundaries or urban service areas, discuss in terms of minimizing the cost of services used by the entire community. So, you know, they have a whole booklet here on different terminologies that they use today and how they need to stop using those terminologies and come up with different words, just like communism became progressive, became liberal. You know, they just keep changing the words. Well, they're doing the same thing with Agenda 21 and sustainable development. You know, now they tell these facilitators not to talk about government grants. And, you know, not to talk about, it's right in this training program from the APA, not to talk about the sustainable grant money from the government, not to talk about climate change or the environment, to direct your conversation now to jobs. Well, why? Because everybody today, that's the hot button, is creating jobs. So now we're implementing comprehensive plans and sustainable development to increase jobs. And I'm involved in my own comprehensive planning, my regional planning in Tennessee, and they don't even talk about the environment. It's all about jobs. So now who – yeah.
Well, I think in some – go ahead.
Sorry, I was going to say, Karen, do you know anything about the Delphi procedure that they're using?
Yes.
Say something about that whenever you finish this line of thought.
And also, just real quickly to let y'all know, we also had Cindy on the line as well, Patriot.
Oh, okay. All right. Good deal.
Go ahead, Karen.
Yeah, I mean, the Delphi technique is a technique. It was created by Rand Corporation, and it was basically a technique that they used to try and direct people to a predetermined outcome. So, and I can basically, I know that it's real because when I worked in the corporate world, I was actually trained on the Delphi technique. And it basically, we had a big project that we were working on. We had to get a whole large group of people to basically agree to the changes that we knew we already wanted to implement, but we knew that the people would not be happy with the changes. So we were trained in how to present these changes in such a way that the people would, at the end of the day, think that it was their idea. They came up with it. It was their idea. So the Delphi technique was originally conceived as a way to obtain the opinion of experts without necessarily bringing them together face to face, and to get, you know, it's a preconceived outcome and kind of to drive people to this preconceived outcome. So when you go to these visioning sessions or these consensus sessions, they do use the Delphi technique. They already know exactly what they want you to do. They already know what the outcome is going to be. As a matter of fact, your plan is probably already written and developed. But they need to conduct these meetings, get you to agree with the preconceived, predetermined priorities that they give you. So that at the end of the day, they can say, when you turn around and go, well, excuse me, you know, I don't want to do this. This isn't what I want to see my community look like. They can turn around and they can say, well, when you went to these meetings, you said that you wanted clean air was important, clean water was important, you know, yeah, but they never tell you, you know, how they're going to accomplish clean air and clean water until you've already signed off on the plan.
Exactly.
So
that's exactly how it works, because that's what they did when I went to the I went to three or four of the meetings myself. It's amazing to watch the way they manipulate and work these people.
Right, and if you try to stand up and ask questions, they ask you to write your questions down or give your questions to a facilitator, or we'll answer your questions at the end of the meeting, and your questions will never be answered. Or they say, we'll post your questions with the answers on our website. I can guarantee you, you will never see those questions and answers on a website. They will never answer your questions. That is why when you're at one of these meetings, you have to know exactly what's happening. You have to come prepared. You have to come with a group of people. You have to know. I mean, there is a very well-orchestrated way that you can defeat the Delphi technique. I've done training on it. We've used the methods. We have shut down and been successful in stopping the Delphi, the sessions completely. So at the end of the evening, they got absolutely no surveys filled out, no results whatsoever. But if you walk into a meeting that's supposed to be your meeting to decide what you want your community to look like, how come they already have a list of priorities created? So that's the first question. These are not our priorities. These are your priorities. We want to create our own priority list.
Exactly.
So that, right, they're the kind of things that you do, and you just...
I thought we already had our own priority list. It's called the Constitution. It's called our state constitution, and let's follow it. I mean,
yeah, but
you know,
that's outdated. Don't you know that's outdated?
Oh, it's outdated? Not to me, honey. You know, I mean, I might live in a different time, but, you know, I mean, I still hold the door open for a woman, and, you know, I might shut it closed for a dude coming in at me, but I'm just saying, I'm just living a different time. And the thing is that, look, we're talking about, I mean, okay, I quit smoking on Friday, okay, so I'm getting, like, a little tense, all right? But I gotta tell you, this is so insane. It's just it runs the gamut of emotions of, you know, oh, I mean, it's stupid. And then you sit there and go, well, No, it's not stupid. It's actually a plan. It's a outright plan to control the United States of America and make our country unsovereign. To make our country belong to some kind of thing. You know, and Barack Obama said it before, too, you know, that, you know, he's bound to all these other people. And, you know, we just want to get along with everybody. Well, that didn't turn out very good in Benghazi, did it? You know, it didn't turn out that great in all these other countries that, you know, we've had terrorist attacks. We are still having terrorist attacks. But getting back to Agenda 21, this is a UN and this is an American movement. These are there are people in your local municipalities. They're for this. They're for
right.
it. They act, and why are they for it, Karen and Char? Why are they for it? What does it come down to?
It's to get the money. I'll let
Power,
Karen address.
Money.
It's to get the money. It's to get the federal funding. And they also, these non-government organizations, these bureaucrats, will in the back rooms, you know, basically tell our elected officials, our city council and our county commissioners that, you know, if you don't take this money, if you don't sign on to this, you'll get no federal funding for anything. So, you know, there's a lot of coercion that goes on, just like, you know, Obamacare got passed through coercion and arm twisting. You know, that goes on in the local communities as well. And these people, many of these, think about it, you know, these facilitators, these NGOs, they're very good at selling these comprehensive plans. And, you know, you have elected officials, and for the most, a lot of these elected officials feel they're doing the right thing. They just really don't know any better, just like I didn't know any better 2 years ago. You know, 2 years ago, I would have sat at one of these visioning meetings. I probably would have been sucked in, too, just like everybody else is sucked in, because I don't and didn't understand the end game. You know, I don't understand the evil. And that's another thing, is people aren't stupid. It's just very hard for people to understand that there is such evil in the world that wants to control everything. They want to control all people and everything that goes on in our society. And people find that very hard to believe, especially
Karen,
Christian people.
And, you know, Karen,
oh, yeah.
the thing, I don't know how it is in Tennessee, but I will tell you, in dealing with a lot of the elected officials here in Texas, what I find is, and some will say, well, they should know. Well, you know, that's kind of like, I don't know everything about everything either and don't want to. But the problem is a lot of the elected officials, seriously, they are totally ignorant about what Agenda 21 really is and what it's about. But like you said, they think it's a good thing. But I will tell you that I have to say this in defense of Lieutenant Governor Dewhurst, okay? Whenever I approached him as to what his thoughts were on Agenda 21, the first two words out of his mouth were, it's evil. It's got to go. And,
right.
You know, and I don't like a lot of things about the man either, but and that's okay. But the problem, the thing is, as long as he is willing to work with us, he did call, by the way. He did call for an interim charge on the smart meters, which I attended and testified at the Senate hearing about 2 weeks ago, I think. So, I mean, he did at least step up to the plate. He realizes that there's an issue with these smart meters. He realizes that Agenda 21 is, in fact, evil. He has called for the charge. Not only that, but he did step up and call for a meeting with the chairperson, Nelson, who is with the head of the PUC. He called for a meeting with her, and he used a lot of the information that Texans Against Smart Meters submitted to him in a notebook on the 21st of August, just prior to the PUC hearing. So, you know, and it's like this, as long as he'll work with me on it, hey, I'm all for it. He stops working with me, that's a different story.
Well, you know, and maybe it's because to me, there is no bigger threat to our freedom
and our sovereignty and our Constitution than Agenda 21. And it is in every facet of our country. It is the reason that our economy is in the tank, because that's one of the components of Agenda 21, is to destroy capitalism and our environment. They have got to bring America down to the level of all the other countries. They have got to, everything that makes us different. You know, we did not have socialized medicine. Now we do. That was part of the plan to move us closer to the one world government. Socialized medicine had to happen. Nancy Pelosi knows it. John Curry knows it. Newt Gingrich knows it. There's a lot of the long-term old-timers that know exactly what's going on. And Obamacare had to be passed. This is just another step in accomplishing the New World Order.
Well, it all falls under that. You know, I was going to say, Karen, it all kind of falls under that Cloward and Piven's mentality.
Right.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Listen, guys, let's bring Cindy on now, and then, you know, hopefully we'll have some time for some questions after the fact.
Let's just
state it as simply as we can. This is communism.
It's a combination.
We can call it Agenda 21, but Agenda 21 equals communism. It equals
socialism. Yes, it does.
It really is. It's kind of a new ism because it's a combination of several isms.
Progressivism. I mean, you know, there's so many isms out there. And there's a cartoon show that maybe I'll run that somewhere.
When you look at it, it's a combination of communism and fascism. It is a combination of the elements of both of those isms.
Totalitarianism. I mean,
and it is a system of complete inventory and control. Another very major component of Agenda 21 is population control. That's why Obama pushes Planned Parenthood. That's why homosexuality is being pushed. You know, that when they talk about, oh, the education of women that's one of their things, is that to teach women and to get women not to have children. And then that's going to come down the road eventually. I mean, they're looking at, and again, this is in the biodiversity assessment report. It says right in there that if we are to continue maintain our current lifestyle, that the population of the world has to be cannot exceed 1 to 2 billion people. And we currently have about 7 billion people in the world. So that tells me that there's a big plan, you know, to greatly reduce the population of the world. Why? It has nothing to do with the environment. It has everything to do with control. It's a lot easier to control 1 billion people than it is 7 billion people.
Let me ask a real good plan
for eliminating a lot of us.
Let me ask Shar, Karen, and Cindy real quickly. I'm just curious because I know we have two other treaties that during the lame duck session that we need to be mindful of, possibly three actually. Could it be four? Do we have anything coming up in so far as Agenda 21 during the lame duck? Because you know we do have. We'll be looking at the Law of the Sea Treaty, the Convention on Rights with Persons with Disabilities, and possibly we might see the UN Arms Trade Treaty come back up during the lame duck session. Should we be looking for anything under the heading of Agenda 21 during the lame duck, especially since Obama's likely to be not reelected in a last-ditch attempt for this globalist socialism movement that we see afoot? Karen, Cindy, or Patriot, either one of the three of you, if you can answer that.
There's really about six different treaties that have been lying around. One of them is the International Covenant on Environment and Development. And this is a treaty that would take Agenda 21 from soft law
to hard binding legislation. And I believe this was a treaty that they tried, that they were hoping to get some support on at the 20th anniversary in June. But nothing really happened. But that is a treaty that's sitting out there waiting, and it consists of 11 parts containing a total of 72 articles, and it will convert soft law recommendations of Agenda 21 into legally binding hard international law. It supports all the principles of Agenda 21, including the precautionary principle, and it is in complete conflict with our Constitution. So that's one treaty. Yes, the Law of the Sea Treaty is out there. There is also the International Criminal Court Treaty. There is the UN Small Arms Treaty. There is the Rights of the Child Treaty. And that's a really bad one.
Yeah, the Convention on Rights with Persons. That's one that Patriot Voices, which I'm affiliated with, is this can really devastate parental rights.
There's only two countries that have not signed on to this treaty, and that's the United States and Somalia. They're the only two countries that have not signed on to this. And one of the things about the Rights of the Child Treaty is they expand welfare under this treaty. They not only expand it, but they increase the amount of money that people get on welfare. And if you as a country want to change or reduce welfare payments in any way, you have to get permission from the UN to do so. And England just tried to do that, and the UN was going to sue them because they wanted to reduce the welfare payments to people. To address budgetary issues, and they got a whole lot of flack from the UN about trying to do it. There's also a code of conduct in outer space, and then you've got the one, the United Nations Convention on the Rights of People with Disabilities. So
wait. Code of conduct in outer space?
Yes. What it is, it would prevent the United States from deploying anti-missile defense weapon systems in outer space to counter the threat from Iran, North Korea, and China. And these missiles in outer space are the most effective method of detecting missiles attacking the U.S. and Israel. So if we are banned from doing this, then it puts us in jeopardy. It puts us and Israel in jeopardy. Well, think about it. You know, they want to put us and Israel in jeopardy.
Yeah, they do. I mean, when you first mentioned that, I'm sitting there. That's the first I've ever heard it. And I'm thinking, okay, do the spacemen, like, have to lay down upside down or something to go to the bathroom? I don't know. You know, but code of conduct in outer space?
Yes, it's a treaty.
They're trying to rule everything, you know.
Right. Hey, guys, can we get Cindy on here?
Yes.
Yes.
Hello.
Let's get Cindy on. I mean, she's been patiently waiting.
And Cindy, real quickly, before I'm going to turn it over to you to Cindy, but I just want everyone to know, I met this young lady at a movie theater when Runaway Slave came out, or no, mm-hmm. was the other one.
Well, they were out, and the other one, and the Obama 16 was also out. I don't know which one I was going to that night, but...
And I've talked to...
I think I didn't have to switch movies.
I've talked to her several times about Cindy, so I'm glad to finally get her on. She gave me her card, and I told her, hey, I met this girl, she knows you. So it's really great to have you on finally, Cindy, and thank you for joining us. She's a homegirl, she's here in Tarrant County with me.
Right.
Let me say this about Cindy Carriger. She has been actively doing the smart meters for a long time. I didn't realize that she was as into the Agenda 21 as she is. And for those of you that don't know her, she has a website. It's Ben Texas Smart Meters. You need to go check it out.
.com. Put a .com after that. Ben Texas Smart Meters .com. Yeah. And that's for smart meters, obviously, which is kind of a part of the Agenda 21. But earlier, you know, I'm not as up on these treaties as coming up. I'm really glad. I've been taking notes like crazy while Karen's been talking, because we do need to be on the lookout for those and alert our people when anything comes up like that, to call their representatives or senators or whoever at the time needs to be called. Y'all were talking about how this is, you know, the communism and stuff, and also Michael mentioned that, isn't it funny, you come across something and you try and capture it in your brain but or on your computer or something, and this is something that slipped through my hands, but it was something to do with how to create, you know, a socialist economy or socialist society. And one of the things that they mentioned that was great to use was to use the environment to introduce and use as a catalyst or a vehicle for getting socialism introduced into a society. And that's exactly what they've done over the last, say, since the 70s, et cetera, you know. And we have a lot of catching up to do if we're going to be able to defeat this. And because they've been starting with our colleges down to our high schools, into our middle schools, and now into our elementary schools. If you talk to any kid, they know all about green stuff. If anybody has noticed that.
Yeah.
You know, ask them about what they learned at school, or it just comes out of their mouth. You know, they just, you know, it blurted out because that's what they're taught all the time. In every aspect, they'll integrate it into their math, into their social studies, into their English class or language, whatever. They integrate green stuff throughout all the grades up through college and kindergarten. So we've got to really work on the education of people, and that's kind of what I've tried to do and Karen's doing. But yeah, you have to kind of mix that with activism. So you just have to get some people who see the vision and realize how big a deal this is. When I first started getting interested in it a couple of years ago, people were kind of thinking, I don't know if you're kind of going out on a limb, you're getting kind of sidetracked there. I mean, we got to save the country and get the right people in office and do this and that. I'm like, that's what this is about, because it's a stealthy thing. People don't recognize it. And so when I talk to people who don't know that much about it, and it is, even in the year or so and a half that I've been talking about it, and Karen will probably attest to that, it's come a long ways in being recognized, and even being now all the corporations use, you know, sustainable and green, and everything you look at, their logos have little green leaves on them, and everything is all about the green. And so people see it like that. But one of the things I tell people to watch for in the cities is things like, do you have an area in your city where they've started using, where maybe it's not normal for them to do it? In the Northeast, they've done this for years, but in western parts and central U.S., you haven't really seen the mixed-use development where you've got businesses on the bottom and residences on the top. I'm sure Karen can talk about why all the, you know, that's the redevelopment going on, and you know, some of it kind of seems like, well, that's not such a bad idea, you know. And in Fort Worth, they have, you know, I noticed our downtown started changing and becoming more vibrant, etc. And it was kind of nice at first, but now that I see what's happening, now they've got so many apartments and living facilities and down there that it's just crazy, and they're running out of parking because they don't really allow for enough parking because they really don't want the cars, you know. So, you know, I basically tell people if they start seeing that where they're living, their community is participating in sustainable development and the UN Agenda 21.
Let me just interject. When you take HUD sustainable grant funding for your comprehensive plans, along with that comes a 68-page document of strings and requirements. So that right there tells me that the comprehensive plan that they told us we agreed to implement through the visioning sessions is a bunch of lies, because when you take that HUD money to implement that plan, it comes along with 68 pages of requirements for using that money. And one of the things that they talk about all throughout those requirements is a thing called livability principles. And there is a document, the Partnership for Sustainable Development report. And when you open that report, it says livability means being able to take your kids to school, go to work, see a doctor, drop by the grocery or post office, go out to dinner and a movie, and play with your kids at the park, all without having to get into your car. And that statement was by current Secretary Ray LaHood, the U.S. Department of Transportation. So, you know, the whole plan is to bring people into the urban growth boundaries. They are going to seal off 75% of the land outside of the urban growth boundaries. And that's basically the Wildland Project, is to get people off of the rural land, move them into the cities, into the urban growth boundaries, where you will live under these wonderful livability principles. And that's the reason for the stack and pack, the buildings with businesses down below and three and four levels of condos on top. I don't know if you've heard about the experiment that they're doing in New York City, and they're also doing it in California, where they're experimenting with 200 square foot apartment buildings or apartments. People will live in a 200 square foot apartment.
Yeah. I heard on national TV the other day.
Yes,
they were talking about it.
They are doing it. And there's a book called The Ideal Communist City. It is almost impossible to get a copy of this book. But in that book, and you can go online and Google comparison, ideal communist city, and sustainable development, and you will come up with a chart that will show you the similarities between sustainable development and the concepts in this book that's back from the 60s, The Ideal Communist City. And in that book, I have a copy of it, in that book it says that for a family of four, the ideal communist city will build a 600 square foot apartment for a family of four. Now, you can do the math. We're now saying that we're going to build these trial apartments for one to two people of 200 square feet. And in the ideal communist city, they were proposing a family of four living in an apartment of 600 square feet. So, you know, right there, that makes me think, whoa, you know, I read The Ideal Communist City. I have the book. And when I heard about what they're doing in New York and California, I was like, oh, my God, this is the ideal communist city that they're,
and I
that
just,
they're trying.
Well, I just dropped the link. I just dropped the link in the chat room.
You know, I mean, just feel like a bee and just float around, and then you'll go into your hive and you'll be with thousands of others and you'll just all be integrated and everything will be cool. We'll sing Kumbaya at the fire, you know, at night and so on. Michael, my brother.
Yeah.
We need to get some of these other people on here to ask some questions, because I know they're stacked up. And
yeah,
we need to
we've got ladies. Look, Char, Cindy, Karen, you guys have got a stacked line here. So Bing and I are just going to start bringing them in and let them address you, ladies. Let's start with Eric, okay? I think we're just going to start at the top here and start working our way down, Bing. And we're going to spend the next 30 minutes devoted to letting these people ask questions.
Yeah. Actually, if you can go up from the bottom, Ron Adcox at the bottom, let's get him on first.
Ron, by the way, I dropped the link, Karen and Cindy, in the chat room from AmericanFreedomWatchRadio.com. There is the ideal communist city. I found that. I dropped that link in there. So it looks like a pretty good PDF. Ron, come on in here. Do you have a question for one of these? Char just dropped. I don't know, but I still have Karen and Cindy. Char must have had a phone issue. She'll be back in a minute. But go ahead, Ron.
I'd just like to say hello to Karen. It's been a long time since I've seen you. And I've had open heart surgery and a lot of things have happened since I was active, but I'm still around.
And oh, you'll be hearing from me.
I want to get back into this 16-county business that we've got going on here. What's going on with it?
Well, they're going to start the visioning and consensus meetings somewhere around January, February. So prior to that, I'll be putting a meeting together of all the leaders of the 16 counties
so we can start creating our plans.
That's lovely. Just good to talk to you. I don't want to waste time. Other people got some good questions. I've been waiting longer than me. Thanks, Bean. Hey, thanks, Michael.
All right, Ron. Hang tight, buddy.
Thank you, Ron.
We're going to just move our way up. So we're going to bring our buddy in from New Mexico, Sue. Sue, what say you today?
Oh, I'm just pretty much listening today. Really interesting. I've known about Agenda 21 for a while. I was just wondering, have you heard of the ghost cities of China?
Karen,
have you heard of what?
The ghost cities?
The ghost cities
yes.
of China?
Yes.
Yes. When you were talking about the apartments and the 600 square feet, that's what immediately came to my mind. And
right.
that is what they do.
Yeah, they just live in honeycombs, you know?
Yeah, but the thing is, they cost so much that they build them, they deteriorate, and then China knocks them down. And it's a way of keeping their economy going, and it's going to be a housing bust worse than what we saw. And, yeah, all of these ideas that they have are totally insane.
Right. Well, sustainable development, although they say that sustainable development brings in affordable housing, understand when they say affordable housing, you may think one thing, but what they mean is subsidized housing. That's what affordable housing is. It'll only be affordable to the people that are getting the subsidized free government housing. For
right.
all of us that go to work and pay taxes every day, eventually, look at California and how expensive it is to live in California. California has been implementing, they are way ahead of everybody else as far as sustainable development. They actually have a cap and trade law that was passed and recently started the implementation of that law. But, you know, this is why things are so expensive in California, because you've got so much subsidized housing going on. But when they talk about affordable housing, what they really mean is subsidized housing. And because you don't question, well, what do you mean by affordable housing? You know, most people think, when they say affordable housing, most people think, oh, they're going to make houses affordable for everybody so we can all afford to have a house. And that's not what it means.
Well, California is so expensive to live in. That's probably, their economy is going down the tank faster than the rest of us as well.
Right. And sustainable development will destroy an economy. It destroys jobs. It destroys the economy. It destroys your life. But again, that's the plan.
Plan. Mm-hmm.
Back in the 90s, I've lost track of time, but I want to say around the time of Ann Richards, our last Democrat governor here in Texas, and I don't know who initiated it. I wasn't really paying a whole lot of attention back in those days, but I seem to recall something that we had an issue with called the Robin Hood Law here, where they were going to, you know, this whole urban development, the sustainable moving people into the cities that Cindy was talking about, and you see it in downtown Fort Worth. You see it all over the country. But the problem here in Texas that you're going to have is, you know, people like me, that I live up in Hazlitt. And I live on the Wise and Denton County, Tarrant County lines. I ain't moving back into town. And the nice thing about that is where I live, and I'm just using my neighborhood for example, but you find it all over America, is with where I have moved to the middle of cow country, my nice little secure neighborhood, which is a very culturally diverse neighborhood, but it's culturally diverse of middle-income people, people that make $100,000, $150,000, $200,000 a year combined total income. We have nice schools out here where they don't have them in town. They want us back in town with our money. Ain't going to happen.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. There's also another thing you want to look into called Building One America, and that is Obama. Obama has been affiliated with Building One America and the Gamaliel Foundation for about 20 years. And that is that's Obama's agenda. It's very similar to Agenda 21, but Building One America is really what Obama is all about.
And that's it exactly. It's taking all the tax revenues and everything from the suburbs and redirecting them into the cities. And because they feel that, you know, the greedy middle class that took their income and moved outside of the city, that, you know, you're the reason why all the poor people were left behind to fend for themselves in the city. So, again, Building One America is something you want to look at. They're starting to create sister organizations. They have a Building One Pennsylvania. They have one in New Jersey, Ohio, and Colorado. So just, you know, keep your ear to the ground. If you start seeing Building One Texas, be nervous.
Kurt, come on in here.
Oh, hey, Michael.
How you doing?
Okay, I want to, pardon?
I said, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing good, and yourself?
Hanging in there.
Hi, Karen and Char and all the other visitors on here this afternoon. Glad to have you here. I want to go in just a slightly different direction here for just one moment, and then I'm out of this. What I'm hearing here is as far as I'm concerned, all pretty much gospel about Agenda 21, but I want to direct our thinking in another direction in relation to Agenda 21. I got two words on that. They're Bill Haslam. Most of the focus on Bill Haslam right now is due to his situation with the Muslim issues. And this is not a bad thing. It deserves attention. But remember that when he was mayor of Knoxville, Tennessee, he introduced the concept of sustainable development to that whole area. That's his baby over there. There's a reason that he did that. My number one priority for the next 2 years, if possible, and I've got a lot of help on this, is to make Bill Haslam as toxic as possible so that he cannot get elected to anything. So just remember Bill Haslam and Agenda 21 when we talk through all this, okay?
Right. Well, I'm from Tennessee, and Governor Haslam is my governor, and I'm very aware of the wonderful billboard. I don't know if you know about the billboard that they just put up in Nashville.
Yeah, I
heard
a little more about that.
They put up the billboard in Nashville exposing him and his friendship with Islam and Sharia. Yes, we are bound and determined to make sure that Bill Haslam never serves in another elected capacity as long as he lives. So that will be a priority.
Thank you very much, Kurt.
And he was the mayor of Knoxville. He brought ICLEI into Knoxville. He also has said, we're going to present anti-Agenda 21 legislation in Tennessee. We already have a draft bill created, and we've already been told that he has said he will pass, he will not sign anything that has to do with Agenda 21 or Sharia. So, you know, we're prepared for a big fight in Tennessee against Governor Haslam.
Well, let's send him a few Muslims over to his house to clean up his yard or something.
Yeah.
Let's bring on our next. Next is John Kirby. John, you need that.
I'm just thinking that you got three kids.
Was going to bring in John. John, you got a lot of background noise going on. I'm going to go ahead and go to Nancy. John, we'll come back to you. This is our buddy Nancy Battle down from Fredericks, the great German hill country, down around Fredericksburg, Texas. You folks, just real quickly, Nancy, before I turn it over to you to speak to Cindy or Shaw or Karen, y'all come on to Texas. We'll go on down to Fredericksburg and have us some really good German sausage and some good beers and maybe.
Y'all are killing me, man. Shut up.
Where are we going? Where are we going? What's that date?
Nancy lives in the thick of the Texas German Hill Country, and my God, she lives out. It's just my favorite place in Texas. It's God's country down there. Nancy, come on in here.
Hi, Nancy.
Oh, send me a
doggy. Hi, Sean. Hi, Karen. I think I talk to Karen every day or every other day. She and I are on the same page link on this Agenda 21. I have been before our council. I was a realtor, and I realized something was causing me a lot of pain. So I decided to find out what the source was. And what I learned was this Agenda 21, and like everybody else, is it? And so basically I heard Tom DeWeese say, you know, it's in every city and every town in the United States. And I thought, oh, not in my town. Well, I started searching, and I went to the net, and I found our website, and I scrolled down to, I believe it was something about contracting our production. Anyway, I followed the rabbit hole I was in, and it said comprehensive plan. That made me very angry because I said, why do we have to have someone else tell us how we want this town to be designed or to go into the future? And so I made an appointment with each council. People say, well, how did you discover this and what can we do? What you can do to find out what's going on in your little our town is to go on the website and see if you can find something called the comprehensive plan. And I demanded that they remove that over and over again, and they refused to do that. And then I found out that they were supposed to become members or reinstate their membership with the Alamo area of... That's a lot of noise.
Yeah, go ahead.
And so then they joined, and I asked them, I said, am I to understand that you've just joined ACOG? And they said, yes, ma'am. And I said, well, you've just violated our Constitution. And I want to read to you what you violated. Ms. Battle, we don't have time for lectures. I said, no, you're going to listen to what you just did by joining this region, us into Region 9. There are 12 counties that will participate, and they will have non-elected people telling all of these council people what works best in one county, and it's working so well that all the counties have to switch. And basically, they are telling my council, for instance, that they're just going to be rubber stamped by non-elected officials. And so anyway, I found that out, and I also found out that they resisted taking down the comprehensive plan because I found out it qualifies them for a HUD or an EPA grant or the Wildlife Federation or any non-governmental organization. They are on board to make some money, and that's why they have to have that comprehensive plan on their website. And I ask who approved us to have a comprehensive plan. They said, well, we had a committee. I said, a committee of how many people? Well, we had a committee of, I don't know whether they told me, 8 or 12. I said, are you telling me that 8 or 12 people can decide what 12,000 people want in this town? I said, don't you think that's a little imbalanced there? This should be brought before the people of the town for a vote. Anyway, this is what's happening, and it's basically what they're going to do about your property and my property, because I own 6 acres. I live rural. I have chickens. I have a horse. I have dogs. And they want my property, and they want your property. And what they're going
to I want to know how many of each of those you have, Nancy, so that we know whether you're legit or not.
How many what?
How many of each of those animals, of course.
Oh, right. Well, anything I have is going to be unsustainable, and so what they can do is to say, you know, Miss Battle, you don't have a protection service anymore, our mail service. And then it lowers my property values. And, oh, by the way, that asphalt road that leads out to your place, it's going to have to be chopped up into rocks because it's not sustainable either. So they lower the property value. No one wants to buy it. Oh, Miss Battle, we have a bus waiting for you. We'll take you right into the nearest city where you can have a government-subsidized apartment. And you won't even need a car because we're going to have mass transit.
You won't need anything because we will take care of you.
Where would that be?
What they're doing in California already is one of the things is you know, they're going to implement eventually VMT, vehicle miles traveled.
Right.
You'll be taxed on the amount of miles that you drive.
Right.
Job preference. They will start, and they already have started, job preference based on where you live. So if you live in the city or you live 50 miles outside of the city, the person that lives in the city will have preference if you're, say, those two people are competing for a job. The person that lives inside the city will get the job. So what happens is now you're affecting people's livelihoods, and in order for them to get a job or compete for a job, they will be coerced into moving into the city or run the risk of not getting a job. They'll make driving so expensive that a lot of people just will give up driving and move into the city. And in Europe, I know they're doing it in Australia. They're also doing it in England, where they're going to older people, widows, widowers, older people living, you know, just the two people in a house. And if their house is what they consider to be too big, they are coercing them to move out of their big houses into these little tiny apartments. And sometimes that coercion is not so nice. They're not always being very nice about it. Don, I don't know if any of you know of a gentleman by the name of Don Casey from Alabama and Ken Freeman. They were very instrumental in getting the anti-Agenda 21. It's called due process under the Constitution. It's the anti-Agenda 21 bill that was passed in the state of Alabama. They're the two gentlemen that were very instrumental in getting it passed. They were actually asked to come to Australia. They just got back a couple weeks ago. They were invited to come to Australia and educate the people in Australia about Agenda 21. So just to know that, you know, it's out there, it's everywhere, but people are waking up.
And you know what they said? We will not win this battle if we cannot get the surrounding towns and communities on board. So that's how important this is. It's not just the cities. It's the surrounding towns and communities that own the rural farming properties they want.
Right. Well, now there's a big push for regionalization.
Sure.
And this is bad. And now the sustainable grant money is now being given out if you're creating regional plans.
Sure.
And regional plans will eventually totally circumvent your local government.
Absolutely.
And this would probably explain why the EPA is cracking down on farmers and ranchers and little you know, folks like Nancy that live out in the country, you know, got some chickens, got a pig, maybe got a cow out there, you know, it's a small, you know, grow and raise what they need for themselves, and the administration's cracking down on it to force them to leave the country and move into the city and stack themselves on top of others.
And they, what you want to do is you want to research the Wildlands Project. The Wildlands Project, that will tell you exactly what the plan is for the rural communities.
The human beings will be in cages, and the animals will have the freedom to roam the wildlands.
Is putting nature above man.
Yes.
Climate change and everything else. Michael, I'm thinking about putting Roseanne Barr outside and my pig pen out in the back. What do you think?
Can I bring my can I bring my Remington pump shotgun with me when I come to visit you?
Can I have one?
I should. Shame on me. I can't stand that one.
I don't think anybody's going to pay it.
I cannot stand it.
One of the things that we really didn't talk about much at all is the smart meters, and please understand that smart meters is part of inventory and control, and no matter what the commissioner, the utility companies or whoever is telling you, you know, the end game with smart meters will be to regulate your usage of not only electricity but gas and water, and if you have a private well on your property, they're going to be metering that as well.
Well, let's bring in Eric here. Nancy, stick with us. Which, by the way, look me, the Flying Shamrock,
Danny?
Nancy, on Facebook. I'm the Flying Shamrock. It'll come up as Michael Smith, but I went to search for Nancy Battle, and there's just too many of you. Let's bring Eric in here. We're running down to the end of this, Karen, and but I want to get Eric in here, and I'm still wanting to bring in John Turdy. But every time I go to make his mic hot, I've got some horrible feedback. So, John, whatever you got going on there, I need you to mute it. Eric, go ahead.
Hey, guys. No questions here. I've known about Agenda 21 for a long, long time, just because of the industry I'm in. I'm one of the contractors that actually works in and on these buildings. I was involved in Victory Park, Victory Plaza, whatever you want to call it. The W Hotel. We even did the cabinets in Channel 8's newsroom and all that stuff. So I've known about it for a long time on the aspect of what a fraud the USGBC is and LEED. You know, most of these materials are supposed to be at maximum brought in within 500-mile radius. I've sat there with my friends and ate lunch on a pile of metal studs that had China stamped on it, or sheetrock that had China stamped on it. So it's a fraud all the way up from the bottom to the top.
And that sheetrock was hung by illegals, I bet.
Yeah, and see, that's you know, because the industry I'm in, I recognize that poor high school dropouts are going to be pushed aside to bring in illegal cheap labor. Slave wage labor is what I call it. And it really hurts me and pains me because a lot of these guys that I work with, they share the same family values that we all hold dear and that the powers that be want to destroy. And I've even actually had some friends that are illegal that had kids born here. And as soon as it came time for them to go to kindergarten, they sent the wives and the kids back home because they don't want their kids to be gangsterized is what they say.
Yeah, and that's a whole other conversation we need to have on Soldiers of Patriotism, Eric, is how as a party do we address the illegal alien situation? You know, do we move in the direction of Newt? What do we do? We do need to have that conversation because I think you're right. I think there's a vast untapped conservative base out there in the way of the Hispanics. But, you know, I like hanging sheetrock. I've never done it for a living, but I had a house over in the cultural district of Fort Worth, the first house my wife and I bought before we had kids, and I love hanging sheetrock. And sheetrock hangers and mudders can make good money, but not when you've got illegals. It'll do it for nothing.
Well, you used to be able to make good money doing it. In fact, when I got into like I said, I'm a high school dropout, and I'm a second-generation carpenter. And so I grew up on a slab framing houses, and I remember as a kid that a lot of trades were allocated to certain races. Mainly the white guys were building the framing houses and doing that kind of thing. Then you had the black guys that came out, and they were usually the concrete guys or the masons or the roofers, and then the electrical and the plumbing was pretty much a mix of every race. But I've watched a transition over the years how, you know, one race gets thrown under the bus, and the next race gets thrown under the bus, and it's a divisional type thing that happens. I don't know if it's planned or if it just happens that way, but they throw everybody under the bus, and it's actually happening in the illegal Hispanic community that people don't realize, because there's actually a division between people from Guatemala and Mexico. They don't like each other.
No.
If you're from Honduras, they don't like you.
And I will. I worked out with Barnett Shell for several years and saw that, the division within in those communities that, out there on the gas fields here in Tarrant County.
Yeah. But mainly what I'm calling in for is that, you know, I've known about this for a long, long time, and then I saw it being brought into my little city, Garland, Texas. And so I attended a planning commission meeting, and everybody got up there, you know, that attended the meetings and all these, you know, meetings you guys talked about earlier. They came to vote on it, to pass it on to the city council. Well, I was the only person that stood up and said, hey, you guys ever heard of Hickley? Have you ever heard of this? Have you ever heard of that? And they looked at me like I was wearing a tinfoil hat. Seriously. And in fact, the next meeting, more people came and showed up and voiced their concerns, because then they were intrigued and they started, you know, researching it themselves. And that brings me to the point that I wanted to make. There's a lot of ways we're going to gain strength in numbers. And a lot of times, you know, when you try to explain to somebody what Agenda 21 is, and you go really into depth what it is, they look at you like you're crazy. Yeah. So I told this to my friend. I said, look, you can't be over the top when you bring somebody into it at first. I mean, you got to think of it as a hot bathtub. You're not going to just take a person or a baby and throw them into a hot bathtub and expect them to take it. They're going to jump right out of it. So you're going to have to inch them into it slowly so that they'll start coming around to it. I had this problem with my dad. He's super, super conservative. I tried to tell him what was going on. He's like, no, that's not happening. It's not happening. But I kept at it. And eventually, once you're aware of it, then you see it in the media. And that's where he started seeing it, because he spends half his time watching Fox and half his time watching NBC. And then he started seeing, you know, through his shows, his TV programming, his news, and reading the Dallas Morning newspaper, he was like, oh, my God, this is really happening. I said, yeah. Why do you think they're taking, you know, my mom to all these meetings selling real estate agents? That they need to start pushing these apartments and condos in downtown Garland, like downtown Dallas. They're pushing sustainable development for a reason. They're trying to create a market for it. And right now there's not a market for it, and that's why you have all this grant money, because it fills in the hole of money that's not there in the private sector. So you've got people like Ross Perot Jr., or it's not Ross Perot Jr., but Trammell Crow, which is a big real estate firm in Dallas, and Ross Perot Jr., which he's big in real estate. These guys are getting all this money to build these buildings. And not on top of that, they get tax abatements. Dallas Morning News came out with an article ranting and raving how great and successful the Victory Plaza was. But they failed to mention that it had already gone bankrupt and went into foreclosure, and somebody else has got it, and that there was a $10 million tax abatement, meaning they didn't have to pay $10 million. That's $10 million a year for 10 years. That's $100 million that the city of Dallas didn't get. And then they're going to extend it for another 10 years. So it's the whole thing behind it with the construction material and how they build it and the liability. A lot of people don't know this, but a contractor is not responsible for shoddy work. The developer's not responsible. Nobody's responsible. So if a building collapses or a parking garage collapses, there's nobody to be held accountable.
Well, that's part of the public-private partnerships that, you know, once you agree to go along with the program and you get hired to do a particular project like that, it doesn't matter if you're building a quality building or, you know, there's all kinds of exceptions to the rules that everybody else has to follow. Yeah, and, you know, it doesn't guarantee quality when you start doing this public-private partnerships.
Well, guys, I've got to jump in here. We're down to the last 30 seconds. We can keep this going. If everybody wants to call in, we've got room for calls, and we can just keep this thing going. But if you're not on the phone right now and you're in the chat room listening, the show's about to go dead because we're about to run out of time. Real quickly, let me just say, we've got November 4th, we've got Patriot Char and John Marler scheduled for our next installment of Agenda 21. Karen, Cindy, we've got to have more shows. Do what, Patriot?
Yeah, call in 718-305. Oh, where to go?
Yeah, we've run out of time, folks. If you're on the phone, Patriot, you're still on. I know you are. Cindy, you're still on. Everybody that's still on, we've run out of time. We're going to need to do it. We've got more Agenda 21 shows coming up. Our next show will be the 4th, Patriot, with Patriot, John Marler. Who else, Patriot?
Justin Padgett. They are both, actually, we're all leaders of the Texans Against Smart Meters.
Okay, cool. Well, Patriot, Bing, and I, we'll all get together offline and get our next show scheduled and get it out there. This is a very interesting topic, and it seems to generate a lot of interest. We need to continue. We may need to even think about maybe doing two shows a month on Agenda 21 because this does kick up a lot of interest and we get a big show on these. So there's something there that we need to, people are interested in.
Okay. Well, we need to get them interested and active.
Absolutely. Okay. Bing, anything
Michael
real
Davis?
Quick?
Yes, sir. I did. I missed my. It's not a rant. It's a piece by a person I know here, a good friend of mine, Fred B. Hook. And I wanted to say that, but I'm going to do that in the video, and I'm just going to put it up there, and I'll make it available. You guys will find me.
All right, and we'll do it on next Sunday show. You can open up with that rant, brother.
Oh, I'm going to do it tonight.
Okay.
So,
all
I'm
right.
I'm going to take me a shave real quick, but I'll do it tonight. But thank you all for being on the show. Karen and Patrick Shar, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Well, since we're already in record mode, just so I can finish the segment, I'm going to turn on our outgoing bumper. We'll catch all you guys on Tradam or on Facebook somewhere. Nancy, look for me, the Flying Shamrock on Facebook. We'd like to bring you. Cindy, I sent you a friend request. Rick, thanks for helping us out. Kurt, Ron, Danny, everybody, thanks for being on today. Char, thank you so much, sweetie. You know that Soldiers of Patriotism Radio is here for you anytime. Folks, this has been another great Sunday afternoon. And remember, there is no turning back.
Bourgeois town.